Aloha everyone and welcome. My name's Phyllis Francis Wigfall and I want to welcome you to the Breaking Through Your Glass Ceiling Summit, How to Unlock Your Leadership Potential and Take Your Career to the Next Level. And so as most of our interviews in this series, we talk about what it takes to break through to the next level and how to step into your authentic power and become an inspiring leader in your personal and professional life. And so I'm your host, Phyllis Francis Wigfall, executive coach from AwakeningLives.com. And today we have another exciting guest here to share some of her expertise and wisdom to help all of you out there. And today our guest is Robin Fisher. Welcome, Robin Fisher.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yes, and for all of you, Robin, the title of our program here with Robin is The Power of a Polished Professional Image. And so I want to share a little bit about Robin's background. Robin Fisher is a fashion industry veteran and an expert in one of the leading image consultants in the Washington, D.C. metro area. And so in 2008, Robin left the corporate fashion world and put her passion behind a new labor of love, Polished, which is a full-service personal styling and corporate image consulting agency. And so Robin's experience in the fashion industry, it spans over the last 20 years and it's included positions ranging from an executive department store buyer to a magazine creative director, international production manager, and fashion product planning manager. Wow, that's a lot of great experience.
Yeah, I've loved every minute of it too.
Yes, and I want to mention this other bit that Robin's a certified image consultant who's received extensive training in London. So you have a lot of personal clients that include executives, diplomats, judges, attorneys, doctors, authors, news anchors, and Robin's been featured on CNN, Fox, NBC, Roll Call, Washington. I mean, wow, you have really had quite the career.
Yeah, I've been very, very blessed. Very, very blessed.
Very cool. And it's Robin, I'd love for you to share a little bit more about yourself to the audience and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. I started off in San Francisco, you know, right out of college, and was blessed to get hired with a very, very great company. And from there, you know, just constantly moving and shaking in the industry. I wanted to know every little thing that I could. I also grew up in the industry, you could say. My grandmother owned a vintage store in San Francisco and also different antique businesses. While I was growing up, my mom coutured wedding and formal gowns. So I just kind of grew up in the industry. I tried to go the more tech route and majoring in engineering. And so I actually landed in the production department right out of college, running production internationally. And from there, I went on to be a buyer and then a department store executive buyer for shoes and designer bridge and so forth. And it's just really been a labor of love and passion. And once I got married and had children, it was really time for me to transition out of that type of hustle and bustle lifestyle. And I wanted to do something that was very close to my industry, but also something I was passionate about, and people and confidence and making people feel their best and so forth is something that has always been very important to me and what I've worked on as a person, but also, you know, with friends and so forth. So I decided to go into image consulting, and that's when I went to London. Even with my vast background, I still felt like I wanted to give superior service and really master what image consultants did. And so that's why I decided to take the trip to London and train intensively there before launching my business 9 years ago.
Wow, that's really exciting.
And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds it, especially, you know, because of where you're positioned. So you are around a lot of international, like being in Washington and diplomats and a lot of people in a professional setting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the one thing, a great thing about being based in the Washington, D.C. area is that it does have a vast just scope of people from around the world. So I work with people that are traveling into Washington, D.C. and find me before they get here and want to work with me, or I'll work with people via Skype and virtually, or I work with people once they're moving in to the United States for business and so forth. So, you know, it's just a really great place to be.
Yes, and I'm so glad you mentioned that. It's like, because when I think of a stylist, I think that I would have to be in the same city or they would have to be like local. And so how do you work with people remotely?
Sure, via Skype. You know, the one thing that communication with the internet has opened, you know, a lot of different opportunities for industries, but definitely doing something that's visual. You know, I do consultations, and that's via Skype. I meet people, you know, in Dubai. I meet people in Russia and so forth, and all of that is via Skype. We'll even do closet sweeps where they can, you know, stand in front of their camera and try on different clothes and so forth. Also virtual styling, where maybe they have a couple of ideas and they're not quite sure, you know, if they're making the right choices and they want a second opinion. So there's all different kinds of things that, you know, working virtually can be done. And so also because D.C., people travel in and out so much, a lot of my clients, you know, travel internationally and abroad if they don't live there. And so once they leave, they, you know, decide to keep working with me. And so Skype is the way to go on that as well.
And that's really cool. And when you're working with people from all these different countries, from all these different cultures, how do you incorporate, you know, their style into their personal style, their cultural style? Like, how does that work, especially when your focus is professional, like creating a professional image?
Sure. So with all my clients, I start with what I call a style personality assessment, and that's where I really determine what their personal taste level is. So there's six different types of style personalities. Some people have already heard them. You know, there's everything from classic and romantic, dramatic, updated, natural, and so forth. And so the way that I have done my style personality assessments, I really break it down because one of the things that, you know, over the years in fashion I realized is that, you know, nobody is 100% of anything. And so you really need to figure out what you're mixed with. So I'm mixed with dramatic, I'm mixed with classic, and I'm also mixed with natural, which means that I have to be very comfortable in my clothes. I like crisp tailored lines, but I want a little bit of pizzazz. And so everybody is different. And so sometimes that definitely is influenced by their cultural background, but a lot of times it really is they're just their personal taste. And once we define that, then we can develop a strategy and get to work.
Oh, wow, that's really cool. That's really neat. And I haven't heard about the six types of styles, so that's kind of neat. So you start with a personal style assessment, and then from there,
yeah,
once we get the idea of what I like or what feels comfortable for me, then we kind of grow from there.
Absolutely. So I've developed a whole system. You know, my undergrad was industrial technology, which is the merging of industrial engineering and business together. So I think very technical. And so I've realized that that was what a lot of people struggled with when it came to fashion, is that it wasn't systematic. And if you're not the most creative person and you know, you really struggle with putting different things together and so forth, developing a strategy and a format in which you understand was the way for me to go when working with clients, especially clients that are very high-functioning business people. You know, they tend to be definitely more technical. And so that's what the polished system is all about. In the first place, that before I work with anybody, I need to understand what their style personality is.
And I like how you say it, the polish system. That sounds really chic. And another thing that often comes to mind when I think of stylists, like stylists, I always see them on E!, you know, on the entertainment televisions with celebrities. And I know that you work with executives. And so how does this, like I'm thinking about the everyday person like me that's like, gosh, could I afford a stylist? Like it just seems like it's something that is not for somebody like me, but I do want to take up my image. I do want to take my career to the next level. Like, tell me a little bit how you work.
Well, you know, I'm not going to lie. My services definitely are, you know, a luxury. But I will tell you that I definitely make sure that my prices are competitive and that people can reach them. They're not astronomical. And especially if you want to invest in yourself. So one of the things that you know, everybody has their niche. So there's all different types of stylists. One of the reasons why I chose going more the professional and everyday person route is because that's really who I personally can relate to. And that is also the person that I care about. You know, when you see people that have low self-esteem and aren't the most confident people and they're beautiful people and they don't know if they just tweak that or do this and do that, you know, they can just be who they envision themselves to be. And so because of that, you know, I think that more and more people are reaching out to image consultants and personal stylists and understanding that it's not just about being a celebrity. You know, it really is about, you know, developing the tools and so forth to make yourself look great every single day, because that trickles down to everything that you do. And so one of the things that I realized right off the bat when I started 9 years ago is that people that are successful in business, they recognize immediately the importance of a first impression. They recognize immediately the impact of looking good and feeling good every day. And so they make those investments.
Oh, and I'm so glad that you said that, because I was starting to think about that. Like, when we're talking about our professional image and first impressions, especially when we're talking about a professional, I'd love for you to share more about how that really impacts how people are seen, and not just at a superficial level, but there's, like, people make a lot of assumptions when they look at somebody, especially their style.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, it's a natural thing, Phyllis, you know, to look people up and down. It just really is. And honestly, it takes about 5 to 10 seconds to make a first impression. And really, during that 5 to 10 seconds, if you have not pulled yourself together and you are not dressed appropriately and ready for whatever that situation is, whether it's networking, whether you're coming through an airport, to a conference, whether you're at the biggest meeting of your life, okay, or you can be a mom at a children's networking, you know, play day. The way that you present yourself, you know, you have to remember that at any given time, 75% of our body is covered in clothing, okay? And so it has a huge impact on how we represent ourselves. So we shouldn't leave that to chance, okay? It's something that we definitely can control, but, you know, it's a natural thing for people to look people up and down. And during those 5 to 10 seconds, they're determining your economic level. They're determining, you know, if you're a nice person or not. They're determining if you're educated. They're determining all these things by how you present yourself. And so why not take control of that, you know? And just really blow it out the water, you know?
Yeah, I love how you say that, because it's like, yeah, I guess we do that, and we don't always, I mean, I can speak for myself, I don't always realize that, but I can see when I'm looking at, let's say, a mom in the grocery store or at a meeting, when somebody has a really nice suit, or that it's tailored nicely, or that it's like they put effort in how they look, versus, you know, and I've been naughty of this, just throwing on something and running out, you know, especially after having a child. It's like I can see the difference in how it does make a certain impression on me when somebody is really, like, looks put together and really looks like they made an effort.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's so true.
Absolutely.
And do you see how that, and with looking at your clients and your experience, have you seen that style impacts people's careers? Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. You know, I always am so in awe with my clients, because I really get an opportunity to meet some amazing people doing some amazing work. And so about 6 months ago, I was working out in San Francisco, but I got contacted by a woman here in D.C., and she was a senior staffer on the Hill, had been on Capitol Hill for years and had been very successful in her business and profession. But as she got older, she decided that she wanted to come off the Hill. She wanted a little bit of a change, but she was concerned that she would not interview well. And the reason why is because she felt like she was old Capitol Hill. That's meaning the boxy suits, you know, the pantyhose, and so forth. And she really wanted to go into a nonprofit kind of arena where, you know, the dress code is more relaxed, you have a lot more millennials, and so forth. And so once I got back from San Francisco, we worked together, and within 3 months, she was hired, you know, at a, at a nonprofit firm, and she is extremely ecstatic and extremely happy. And she knows that, and she definitely credits, you know, even the dress that she, you know, wore to the interview. And then also, you know, going on to when she first started, the first 2 to 3 weeks, just having the clothes ready, you know, makes a huge impact on how you even start your new work life. So absolutely. You know, I just worked with another client last week that was an executive here in D.C., and now she's been relocated, down in Richmond, Virginia. And, I mean, you know, her dress code here was definitely a little different, where she's being promoted to a senior vice president, and she really has to be suited up. And so she's young. She's, you know, successful. You know, she still has a lot of fire. And so we had to determine what kind of wardrobe pieces do we put together to still represent a senior vice president. And so that was absolutely a lot of fun, especially when I get the feedback and the emails. Oh, my God, Robin, I'm getting stopped every single day. You know, people tell me how great I look every single day, especially because when I shop with individuals, what I'm doing is developing a capsule wardrobe, because it's very important for your wardrobe not just to function for one part of your life. It needs to function for everything, okay? And so, you know, she's able to wear these great pieces not just in her corporate life but also in her social life.
I love your examples because it really makes me think of my own personal experience when I was able to get promoted above people that had been with the company for years and I was new. And one of the things that a tip that somebody gave me is you want to dress for the part even when you don't have it. And I remember it was a casual job. Yeah, I started wearing outfits like suits, more kind of like the blouses and slacks and skirts. And and that was a big change from like jeans and, you know, casual wear. And I remember I started being asked to attend certain meetings on behalf of the company's management because they couldn't make it, and I was being the one that was pulled, and next thing you know I had been promoted within 9 months. And I have to say it was because I shifted my wardrobe, because I said, okay, even I'm going to dress for the part, act as if, even though I don't have it. And then I was able to get it as a result of that, because people started to, like you said, I took control of my image. And people start to see my professionalism, but it was first through my wardrobe. So that is very true.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I have a very similar experience back in San Francisco. You know, I started off as an associate, and I just made up in my mind I'm going to reach a director level, which I did. But when I looked around, my peers were in, you know, the casual clothes, but all the senior level managers and so forth were always in some type of tailored kind of suiting look. And so, you know, I think I had been out of college 2 years. I also interned at this company, so they had hired me on. And I made it very clear to them that I want to be on a fast track. I'll do whatever you ask. I just want to be on a fast track. And within 6 months of me taking, you know, one of my first checks into, I think it was the Limited at the time, and buying 2 suits, and starting to wear and break up the pieces, like maybe I'd wear a slack and a really cool blouse, or maybe I'd wear the blazer paired back with a T-shirt and jeans and so forth. But 6 months later, I was traveling the world, you know, and for somebody that, you know, had only been on the West Coast, comes from very humble beginnings, it was one of those things that really projected my life on a different level. And I tell you, I have to contribute it to how I presented myself. My grandmother used to always say, honey, you can only, even if you only have 10 cents in your pocket, never look like it.
Oh, I love that. I mean, that's it sounds like it really does like represent even, you know, what you've been able to create today. And I love your personal story, and it's like, because you shared some really tangible tips, like 2 suits and then being able to pair it up. It's like, how do you build a wardrobe for your lifestyle? Like, I know that they start with a personal assessment test, but how do you help them build one from there?
It's all about your activity level. So for me, you know, 9 years ago, I was coming out of corporate. The majority of my wardrobe were really based in suits and tailored looks. But if I'm coming home with a newborn set of twins, and I'm starting a new business, well, I'm not going to have that much business. And more so the yoga sweat look is going to be more appropriate for my lifestyle at that point. However, I had to really tailor down. So, you know, 70% of my wardrobe was anchored in suits and tailored suiting, and I'm coming home now to somewhat be a stay-at-home mom as, you know, I get my babies to a certain level and my grow my business and so forth. I would tailor that 70% down to about 20%, okay, because I'm only going out of the house maybe once a week, twice a week. Okay, and then 50% of my wardrobe, instead of 70% just being a tailored suit, the other 50% went into a more casual look. And so I was really able to focus my budget, focus my eye, focus the things on what I like. So it wasn't just necessarily the yoga pants. You know, I wore, you know, great trouser denims and great button-down shirts and just a little pendant and diamond earring stuff that would make function for my current lifestyle. So now as my children have grown, my company has definitely grown. Now I'm back so more so in that 60%, you know, business looks, and then 30%, you know, casual looks on the weekend because my kids are always running up and down a football field, you know, and then
right.
the other 10%, you know, great after five looks for when I'm doing date nights with my husband or going out with my girlfriends. So, you know, your wardrobe balance is really dictated based on your lifestyle. And so that's one of the reasons why I really love my business so much, is because it's really all about transition, you know. And, you know, even though I was a fashion professional, there's been times that I definitely struggled with my wardrobe. And every single time, it was because I was going through some type of life transition. So when I moved from San Francisco Bay Area into Washington, D.C., huge culture shock, where they were suits and tailored everything here, where it's definitely more relaxed and casual on the West Coast. You know,
right.
And then, you know, getting married and just being like, okay, well, I don't want to become a prude, but now I'm someone's wife. And then becoming a mom, well, okay, you know, now my activities. So all these different transitions, you know, it makes sense. Now when I look, it was so difficult and, oh, my God, what am I going to do back when it was happening to me? But now as a professional doing this, you know, it's just, it's life, you know, and the way we present ourselves is a big part of who we are. And so when you go through these different life transitions, you know, check in with yourself and make sure you're still communicating and expressing who you are through your clothes or if something needs to change.
Oh, and I love that. First, I can totally hear the engineer in you as you're explaining the 50%. It's great. But I love what you just said, which is, it's like, you know, what image do I want to present? Like, what do I want people to see me? What am I trying to portray here? And that's a big thing that I think even for myself, I'm sometimes unconscious, especially if I'm running to the store or running here. Or it's like, you know, stopping and thinking, okay, what am I trying to convey here by what I'm wearing? And
right.
I love that consciousness and then being able to reflect it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's all about who you want to project. You know, a perfect example is I'm a part of an organization here called Fashion Group International. We're based out of New York, but we also have chapters all over the country. I'm about to become the regional director in January, which is a really big honor. Well, guess who has to check in with themselves now, you know, once again.
Oh, right.
You know, because it's going to be a different level of networking. It's going to be a different level of, you know, being visual in the market. Representing, you know, a third-party company, you know, I'm sorry, nonprofit, and, you know, I really want to do a good job. And so that, once again, is making me check in with myself to make sure that I'm representing that person come January.
Oh, that's really great. I love what you're saying because it just really brings it down to level, especially as a professional, and not even just as a professional because you talked a lot about the casual, like being able to express myself in a way that looks nice and polished. And it's like, how do you help your clients incorporate fashion into their real life? Because when I look at fashion, I'm looking at, you know, there was Fashion Week in New York and Paris, and there's all these big things, and it's like, it's over the top. Like, I don't know if I could ever wear some of these things.
Right.
But how do you incorporate so that you want to be up to date and yet,
sure.
you know,
well,
real for your real, like, life? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So first and foremost, you know, I on the backside, you know, a lot of my clients don't see what I'm doing on the backside. I'm always about, you know, 6 months to 8 months out in terms of trend forecasting and so forth. So I still function within polish like I did when I was in the fashion industry. So therefore, I publish a trend magazine. And basically what I'm doing is I'm looking, if I'm not in at those fashion weeks in New York, London, Paris, and so forth, then I'm definitely looking at the shows in online, which now everybody has access to. Back when I was a buyer, you know, it was very closed. You didn't get, you know, the public was not allowed in. So I think it's great that they've opened it up and made it, you know, more accessible to people, but it's also about having an editor's eye. So I edit the trends based on what's coming down the runway that I know the polished woman will respond to, okay? And then that individual, whoever that client is or just someone, one of my great followers, it's up to them to determine what trend they want to try. Okay, and what they're open to. So, you know, it's really about becoming your own style editor. And once again, once you understand what your polished, you know, your style personality is, like me, I know that I'm have this 33% dramatic, okay? So 33% of my look, if you look at me, will always have something that's dramatic, okay? If I just put on something that's tailored from head to toe, and it can be comfortable because I'm mixed with classic and I'm mixed with natural, which means I need to be comfortable. But if it has no pizzazz to it, it's not enough, okay?
For me. Right.
But I know if I go overboard, it will scare me half to death. Okay,
so
I stay within my 33% zone. And so that's how you incorporate fashion. You figure out just how much, you know, you need, and then that's how much you incorporate.
And I love your engineering mind, 33%. And so when you say 33%, is this like, are we talking about an accessory, a scarf? Like what would be something that you would throw on to be 33?
Yeah, it can definitely be. You know, so, you know, for a normal business look, I probably put on, you know, a great black pencil skirt, basic, a very comfortable pair of black pointed toe pumps, very basic, maybe a great blazer in a fashion color, okay, but then pair it back to some kind of black underpinning. So now you start, it's about 25% there, but once I throw on a great accessory, then I'm at my 33% and I'm ready to go.
I love it. I love how your mind works. I mean, that's so fantastic, and it's great because it's like working with you. It sounds like once I take my personality assessment, I'll get clear about what that will be for me, and then being able to know. I love this.
And I'll be honest with you. You know, some stylists work because they work and they want you to be somewhat dependent on them. That is not my goal at all. I really consider myself more as a teacher and more as a coach. It's very important to me that I teach my clients how to do these things for themselves, explain it to them how they need to understand it so they get the confidence and they get the power to do it themselves, because that's what makes them feel unstoppable. That's what gives them, you know, this burst of confidence and making them feel good about themselves and loving what they see in the mirror. You know, there's so many times we focus on our weight, and trust me, as someone that was a perfect size 8 to 10 her whole life until I had these twins, I totally get it. But I will tell you that I am more confident now at a 14 than I ever was before, because I know that the fabric choices, the color choices, the, you know, detail choices and so forth are right for me, and I feel better in my clothes than I ever did.
Oh, and you bring up such a good point, because as when I know for me, after I had my daughter, I moved up a couple of sizes, and it's like I still kept my old clothes with the intention that I would be able to go back to that 8, you know, from a 10. And then yet I didn't feel comfortable, you know, let's say when I'm wearing my size 8 jeans and, you know, I had a little bit of a muffin top, you know, carrying over. But then finally I broke down, it took a couple of years, and I bought my size, and I felt so much better, and it looked so much better.
Absolutely.
People actually thought I lost weight, and I hadn't.
No. Get that stuff out of there, Phyllis. You know, I tell people all the time, especially when they're doing a wardrobe sweep service with me, that if you don't want to throw anything away, listen, I'm not going to fight you with your stuff. But let's get a bin and let's fold it down neatly and get it out of sight, out of mind. When you have stuff that's ill-fitting, doesn't fit, damaged, and so forth, hanging in your closet, dated, okay,
right,
it makes it very difficult for you to get dressed in the morning. You just cannot do it, okay, because you're looking at so many things that are not even relevant, okay? And so once you clear the clutter, you know, then you're able to look and see what you actually have and what's working.
Yeah. That's a good point. And I heard that before, but when I finally put it to action, it's like, it's so true, you know, because it's like that negative reinforcement of, well, someday I'll be able to fit that dress, and then constantly being reminded that I don't fit it because I can't wear it and it's in the corner. So
yeah.
That's really a good point.
Yeah, and I will tell you, we are the worst critics on ourselves. Individuals, will criticize ourselves to death, and we don't have to do that. You know, honestly, I come from a production background. Trust me, this country, there's something here to fit everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a matter
of... Yeah, I do. I hear that. And that's so cool. And I love that you shared that you're able to stay atop of the trends. You know, you're watching the fashion shows. If you're not able to get out there, and you're able to incorporate that. And then you brought up about wearing the right colors. I would love for you to share about that, because I know they talk about spring colors, fall, and it's like certain things. And I'd love to hear what you have to say about colors. Like,
sure. Well, honestly, I don't use the systems in terms of the seasons. And that is probably one of the easiest way to find out, you know, a color palette. I just personally believe that a person's color palette has to be customized because there's, you know, so many different colors that might be on a winter palette or a summer palette that might not go with your skin tone. So when you wear anything, the goal of that item is for it to blend with you. And it's not just about color. It's also about the scale of it as well, okay?
Yeah.
So, but color, it has the power to make you look great or make you just look blah, you know? And it really is a matter of what those colors are blended with. So as an international production manager, I had a lot of experience in colors. I was the person to add more, you know, 10% more blue, you know, 5% more red. I need, you know, and I'm matching it up to Pantone, okay? And Pantone's is the international kind of like the color authority, and you hear about the Pantone color of the year and so forth, but that's, we've been using that in the fashion industry for years and years and years and years to communicate across international lines to ensure that, you know, dyers and so forth have, you know, the color that we're going for. So during that time, I realized that, you know, based on how your skin picks up color, your eyes pick up color, your hair picks up color, and all that with light, natural light on you, you need to find colors that blend with you. Those are going to make you look your healthiest, your thinnest, and your absolute best. And so I do virtual color consultations as well, where clients send in pictures of themselves to me, and I'm able to customize a custom color palette that's compact. It can fit in their back pocket or their purse, and they're able to take it with them shopping. And so what it does is it acts as a guide for them. So when they're, you know, standing at a sweater table and they love the way this sweater fits and feels, they still make a very educated decision about which colors to buy based on what their personal resonance levels and color levels are.
Oh, I'm so glad you shared about that, because I've always heard about, I've had a few friends got their colors done, and it's what you're talking about, matching their skin tone. And I remember seeing how they changed their wardrobe as a direct result of it, and it really made a huge difference, because they know, they were able to walk around and they knew, no, that's not my color. Even though that's a great blouse, I'm not going to get it. And for me, I just, you know, it's a combination of how I felt in the moment, you know, or just whether I liked it. But there's something to be said about matching your color.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. You know, I tell people a red is not just a red, a blue is not just a blue. You know, these colors are blended with browns and blacks and grays and whites and so forth, you know, and that really determines how those tones pick up color on you, you know?
Yeah, that's huge. Oh, and I'm so glad to hear that you do color consultations, that you do.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. Gosh, this is so much fun. Like, I just love hearing about all this. And I'm curious, it's like with your work with women, do you work with men? Have men ever reached out to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I work with men as well. And, you know, the one fun thing about working with men is that, you know, they're, to be honest, the trends in menswear doesn't really change as drastically as women. And so when I work with men, they're always so surprised that it's the subtle changes, meaning, you know, they could be wearing a polo and at one time that fabrication was really in. But now they just need to update to the new fabrication. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or the new cut pants. You know, one of the things that I constantly laugh at, because what honestly happens a lot of times is that a wife will work with me, and then the husband will say, oh, no, you're not going to walk around looking better than me. I want to go meet her, too, and work with her, too. And so one of the big discussions that are right now are the cuts of jeans, you know, where it used to be, you know, just the wide, bulky legs. Now they're coming in a lot more slimmer and so forth. And so when men see themselves in, you know, an updated silhouette pair of jeans, you know, they always think it's so bad that these pants are going to be a little bit more tailored. But once they see themselves in it, they're like, oh, okay, I still got it. You know, it's really funny.
Yeah, that's so cool that you shared about that, because it's like I don't know. I mean, I'll pick out stuff for my husband, but it's really interesting how it, I guess there is such subtle changes, like you said, the fabric or even the cut. Like that's how the men's wear can change.
Yeah, and also color. Color is really, you know, there's a million different baby blue shirts out there, but
right, that's true.
You know what I mean? But the tone and so forth, like, you know, my husband needs more muted tones of baby blue. And so, you know, we make sure that I don't get him those pastel-y, you know, white-faced baby blues. His are more muted, you know, and so forth. Yeah, and instead of him wearing, you know, a true white shirt, he's a very beautiful African-American man, and he looks better in off-white and a crew shirt versus that crisp white. So, you know, just knowing those subtle differences, those can definitely make, you know, men look more expensive, more tailored, more refined, and so forth.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's just great information. And gosh, like as we're coming to kind of the end of the interview, I know that you have a free gift that you wanted to give everyone, and so I wanted to give you an opportunity to share about that.
Sure. So I want everybody to download the Wardrobe Lifestyle Balance Worksheet. This is a worksheet that I use with all my clients, and something that I tell people, before you start investing in your wardrobe, it's very important that you understand what your current lifestyle is and determine your needs. So work on the Wardrobe Lifestyle Balance Worksheet. Really be honest with yourself about your activity level, whether, you know, you're working a lot more, whether you're on business travel, or whether you're just at home a lot more with your kids and your husband, or, you know, you're starting to hit the street and get your social life back. You really need to build a wardrobe that is based on your lifestyle function. And this worksheet will help you.
Oh, that's great. And for those of you listening, if you look on the sheet, if you look on the page below where we're speaking, there will be a link there that will take you to this worksheet over there on Robin's page. And Robin, where can people find you? Where can they?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You can find me at www.polishedimageandstyle, and is spelled out. Also, if you Google Image Consultant DC, I should be showing up somewhere on the first page if I'm not the first one.
Oh, that's so great. Gosh, this has been such good information. Is there anything, I mean, there's so many things we cover, and there's so many things about style, and it's like, before we go, is there anything that you're dying to share that we didn't get to?
No, I think we covered everything. I've had a blast, Phyllis. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this. It's been a great time.
Yes, thank you, and I so appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us, because it really does, it's like for those of us that want to break through to that next level, whether it's personally or professionally, I mean, you really gave us some tips on how to do that through our style, through our fashion, and being comfortable and being able to take control of our image, like you said. It's like if people are going to make an assumption anyways, we might as well have some say in that, and I really love that you said that. I mean, that's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so, yes, you're welcome. And so for all of you listening, again, this is Phyllis Francis Wigfall here with Robin Fisher. And so we're encouraging you to step into your authentic and powerful, polished style. And so I want to encourage all of you to watch the inbox for our next interview and for the replay of our interview with Robin Fisher. So for those of you that know you have friends or family that could benefit from this conversation, please pass this on to them. So thank you all.
Thank you.
And
thank you,
yes,
everyone.
Great. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.